Bill.
Wendy, look who's here. It's Dr. John Duffy.
We were having a little joke.
We were having a joke, but not at your expense this time. We've learned from our mistakes. John Duffy, of course, best-selling author of The Available Parent, host of Undue Anxiety with Dr. John
Duffy.
Wait, the title's been changed.
Title's been changed, Bill. It's now Better instead of Undue Anxiety.
Better.
And you have a co-host.
Breaking news. I have a co-host. The lovely Julie Duffy is my co-host.
Are you related to her?
I am. I happen to have married her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, shortly after we started the podcast, I thought I better propose.
That's a good move. All right. I need to ask you a question. There's a topic that we have for today that's really good, and we'll get to that in a second. But this is out of the news. I'm curious as to what you think of this.
Yeah.
We just had the shooting situation in California over at YouTube. It was a woman who was unhappy with YouTube's policies, and she went and she had a weapon. And you know the story. It's all over the place. All right.
Yeah.
So here's a question. They were talking about how it's very, very rare that a woman would do something like this, that almost always it's a guy. And the same is always said about mass murderers, that every once in a while you get a woman who's a mass murderer, but normally it's a guy. So what's different about a guy's brain that would do something like either of these things as opposed to a woman's brain?
So there's a couple of theories. One of them is straight chemical, testosterone. We are far more likely to be aggressive, right? You know, so that the argument is the most well accepted argument is pretty simple. Men have way more testosterone than women on average and are far more likely then to be aggressive, kind of naturally, almost kind of back to fight or flight days and, you know, hunting and gathering.
But what about the governing part of our brains that would say, no, what you're about to do is wrong? Is that even a factor in this, would you say, or not?
In this case, I think that's something that people are going to want to look at. Because this is such an anomaly, I think people are going to want to know, okay, what drove this woman to make this move? Because it's so unusual, because there's no good psychological reason backing it up.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's someone who has some form of mental illness to take it to this step, regardless of male or female?
Yeah.
The mental illness argument in the shootings has been an interesting topic, right? Because my community, the mental health community, has railed against the idea that the shooters are mentally ill. We really want to talk about the guns, that we need to get rid of the guns.
Sure.
But the truth of the matter is, you do not do this kind of thing unless you are mentally ill. Unless there
is a normal thinking brain.
Exactly. Right. Guns may be a part of the problem, the availability of them.
It's the combination.
But no doubt, the normal thinking brain does not make this kind of a move.
Is it because what it would be considered a normal brain would figure out what the consequences would be?
You'd say,
well, this cannot end well.
What's
about to happen won't end well.
Absolutely that. Like, it won't end well for me. And there's also the moral, ethical part of the brain that you know, the vast majority of us have this, like, okay, I'm very angry. They're not paying me for my videos anymore. I'm going to write an angry letter. I'm going to post a video that suggests that I'm angry. You know what I mean? Something other than, you know, actually going down and hurting somebody, maybe with an intent to kill them.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Of course.
That scares me that this is what this is over, is, you know, not getting advertising dollars from YouTube videos that you got before. It's just scaring me to think, look at this. Look what's happening to this world.
Right.
You're not paying me for my YouTube videos, where, you know, a YouTube video, anyone can be a YouTuber. My 15-year-old is.
Right.
Anyone can do it.
Right.
So it's just not right.
No, there's a slippery slope. I fear that's happening with the reasons for a mass shooting. You know, I'm not certain of this, but it seems like they're happening a little more frequently, and the reasoning seems far and far more tenuous to me.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, on to the real topic, and we only have a minute here or two, but set it up, and then when we come back, we'll discuss it at greater length.
Broadly speaking, in the past few years, I've seen this crisis of identity and self-worth among our young men and boys, to the extent that a significant portion of them who, by the time they hit 18 or 19, they are heading home from school, college, their freshman year, because they failed to self-regulate in some way. They drank too much, they smoked too much, they stopped going to class.
That was me. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the air. That's why I didn't make it at Illinois State, though.
I mean,
I didn't make it till Christmas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So this is a massive phenomenon right now, and far more now boys than women. Young women tend to be doing really, really well and hanging in and, you know, and getting more degrees and more graduate degrees, whereas the men are floundering quite a bit.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break and we'll figure out exactly why that's the case. Why are these numbers rising? Dr. John Duffy is here. If you have any calls, if you have any questions, call us.
Or comments.
If you have any calls, question us. That doesn't seem right.
You can always question us. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy. All right, John Duffy is here, Dr. John Duffy. He's a clinical psychologist. Listen to his podcast, formerly Undo Anxiety. It's now called Better, and it is better because his wife, Julie Duffy, is the co-host. Oh, sorry, John.
Although there's a text here, upset that you married a relative. Her name was not the same as yours until you guys got married.
I really don't want to explain
that. You don't owe anyone explanations.
We are going to explore boys and young men and going off to college. Their freshman year is not always easy for them. But before we get going, can I please take this phone call? Because I just think it might be interesting.
Yeah.
Is this Jeannie? Hi, Jean.
Janine. Hi, guys.
Janine. All right. So I believe like parent shaming is going to start right now.
Ah.
You know what? I just think the boys today are cattle. I took two boys to college. My youngest is finishing up the senior year. And his friends, I mean, the parents are still making their lunches, doing their laundry. And I said, what are we doing here, raising boys and men? I don't understand it. Well, and fortunately for me, my boys are not like that.
You're lucky.
Oh, you're definitely lucky,
well,
Jeannie.
No, you know what I did? I started this stuff in middle school, sixth grade. I taught them how to do laundry. They've been making their lunches.
Wait, so if you teach a boy to do laundry, he's fine for the rest of his life? Is that it? Because I'm late, but I'll do it.
No, I'm just saying, you got to start somewhere. So, and they're going to, you know, they're out on their own. My oldest is already out on his own plate. He can actually balance a checkbook.
John, are boys today coddled or not?
You know, I think there's some degree of truth to what you're saying, Janine. I really do understand your point because I know that this happens. It happens with a lot of the boys that I work with. The problem, I think, is even bigger than that because it's not just that the boys are coddled. I think they're kind of taught that they're part of the problem in high school and maybe middle school, and they don't really have a feel for what, you know, it means to be a man. So they're not really mentored very well. And I get that, like, having to do some things around the house is great. But also I think that parents, teachers, bosses, coaches, directors, aunts, uncles can also just spend some time with them, giving them some hope that they have the skills they need to create the future they want. Because a lot of boys are thinking forward and do not see a very bright future for themselves. And even if we empower them in the way that you're talking about, I don't know that they come away with the message that the future's bright and they're going to be able to manage it. And I think that's part of the problem that we run into with these kids when they hit 18 or 19 years old.
Right. But I was just thinking, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, fortunately, my kids were good students. So I didn't have to worry about that. They didn't get in trouble at school. So I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of everything. But I feel very blessed at how they are becoming young men. I really do.
And part of that blessing is that they're good students. You know, a lot of boys are labeled as problems in the classroom. And so they never get that kind of look from the teacher where it's like, you know, I value you. I value your contribution in this class. And sometimes that becomes part and parcel of the problem as well. And by the time they get to college, they already feel this lack of self-worth, self-esteem, you know, their ability to contribute positively. And so they just distract themselves with things that make them feel good, like video games or smoking way too much pot or not going to class and just hanging out with the guys in the fraternity.
Janine, thank you very much for calling. You got great boys.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. You mentioned that sometimes, well, boys are treated differently. There's been several studies. Time Magazine had a big article and cover story on this.
Yeah.
The majority of elementary school teachers are women. So if you're a boy and you're talking in class, you get in trouble. If there's a gaggle of girls talking, they don't get in trouble. I've seen it.
It's true. I mean, it's true. And I don't think it stops in grade school or middle school. I think this kind of continues through high school. And maybe this was true a generation ago, but now I think boys are keenly aware that they are seen kind of as second class. They're aware the kind of girls are winning the education race. You know what I mean? More girls are in college and make it through college now and graduate school as well. And so these boys are floundering a bit. And I think a lot of them feel like, boy, I need to do what my dad did, stiff upper lip, you know, be a man, just pick a career and go for it. And yet, because this is a more kind of a more thoughtful, sensitive generation, a lot of that doesn't resonate with them, you know? And so they struggle with like, well, then what should I do? And is there a bright future for me where I can make a living and have a family and do all the things that my dad did?
Yeah.
It is a different time.
Yeah.
Is this salvageable? Is there some way to fix this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's not only salvageable, I think it's easily salvageable, to be honest with you. I think it just takes a few moments from somebody in some kind of a mentor capacity to spend time kind of looking in the eyes of these kids and saying, hey, you know what? I know that there's been some trouble in your life. I know you're getting D's. You're capable of A's and B's. I know you can do better than you're doing, but just know that I have faith in you.
Yeah.
And sometimes kids don't, because the world's super busy.
Right.
And there's so many kids in so many classrooms, and we don't often take that opportunity. But when we do,
yeah,
it makes all the difference. We were talking to my son's swim coach recently, my wife and I, and he makes sure that he takes a moment with all 65 guys on his team just to give them 65 guys,
wow,
just to give them that moment where they have his undivided attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't much matter what he says. He's
it's
attending
the
to them. He's aware of them.
It validates you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a validating moment.
So is it up to the school to provide somebody like you just described, or is it up to the person to find somebody on the outside that can kind of coach them, teach them, and mentor them?
I think what I would love to see is kind of a call to arms for almost any adult who has contact with boys in this age group, you know, let's say from 15 to 25,
mm-hmm,
to give them a moment. Not that you can't say you're disappointed in where they are, or they need to work harder, or they need to party less or something like that, but I think it's also important to say, hey, you, I value you, I have a lot of respect for you, and I know that there is a bright future for you,
right,
and anything I can do to help, let me know.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, so Bob, I'd like you to get to your point as quickly as possible. We have a minute.
Okay.
Go.
Okay, so I think that in general, men, the whole gender is kind of under attack. You don't need them anymore, and I think that's part of it. I mean, you don't need them as head of household. It's on TV. It's in the news. There's no place for them that used to be.
I get your point, Bob. You know, kind of the Homer Simpsoning of men, right? That men are kind of dumbed down a little bit culturally. Here's what I like to think. I like to think that the fact that women are doing well, and finally we are empowering girls and women in the last year or two in ways that are kind of unprecedented. I don't think that has to be a lose for boys and men. You know, I think that this can be a win-win all the way around. I think men might not be necessary in the way that they've been playing their roles to date. So there is this opportunity to kind of shift the roles and balance them out in a way that works really well for everybody. We just have to be really, really attentive to it.
It's not that you're not needed anymore, Bob, but I know it sounds from the way you say this as you don't feel needed anymore. You're not the head of the household, but why can't, you know, you both coexist and you both run the household together?
Yeah. Well, and just one last really quick point. So I have a very, very gifted son. I mean, off the charts, 100th percentile, et cetera, et cetera. He's in college, but he couldn't get into the real selective schools. First was Legacy, second was, and we were told flat out, you're a white male. And, you know, if you were a minority
a person
or
of color.
A female.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was crushing because he's been always, you know, at the top of everything, and including sports. He did it all. But one thing about him, he's got that frontal lobe development, you know, that these genius kids get
sure,
where it's not quite developed. But he just couldn't get into the schools.
And that's not fair, and that happens, doesn't it, John?
It happens, Bob, and you know, and it sounds like you have a brilliant guy in your hands, and this is an opportunity for him to adapt to a circumstance that's less than perfect, which probably he has not had to run into in his 18 or 19 years of life.
Right.
It's a tricky thing to do because he knows, like, maybe I belong at a higher tier school, but I'm always impressed when kids can adapt to circumstances that are unexpected.
Good luck to you, Bob.
Good luck, Bob.
And thanks, you are Bob. Appreciated. We need you, Bob.
Bye. That was like a verbal hug, Wendy. That
thank
was
you.
Beautiful.
So sweet.
There's a tear in my eye from that.
I like people.
That was excellent. Dr. John Duffy.
What's wrong with you? I'm nice and the world falls apart. Jeez.
My tongue called in sick today. Dr. John Duffy has a podcast. It's called Better. It used to be Undue Anxiety, and then the show got better because he added his wife. How do you like that? Listen to it on WGN Plus. His book is called The Available Parent. It's available wherever books are sold. Thank you, John.
Thanks,
appreciate it. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.